Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Every day's a brand new morning since the morning you moved in. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
Different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Set your heart apart, take it down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Well, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Gerald Adams and Rufus Edmonston by car today. Being chauffeured back to the mansion. Rufus, were you singing during...
I definitely was.
The opening, okay. I just want to make sure. I'm really sorry, Jason, that you didn't bring that up so everybody could hear Rufus on the phone singing. But that's all right.
Well, I was a little off key because when you move from an elevation of 3,500 feet down this way... You go up an octave.
That's right, and I think your vocal cords kind of start heating up some too.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, everything starts heating up. Yeah, I was out at Tom's yesterday, Rufus, and he had his plants. I mean, I tell you, he's getting serious. Brother Tom's getting serious about this stuff.
I believe it.
I mean, he's going to have a laboratory like Gerald after a while.
He's becoming addicted.
Yeah.
I want just enough to eat. And we were talking about competitions. I'm still taking physical therapy for the joints. I won't call it the joint.
No, call it a valve.
The valve. The valve they put in my heart. And there are four or five gardeners there, and they all are now – avid listeners to the Weekend Gardener.
Well, I hope so.
And everybody was going to see who could have the first tomato. So I did with the Gerald Rufus tomato, which I'll swear, Gerald, it turned out yellow this year.
Send me a picture of it, Rufus.
Yeah.
Well, I ate it.
Of course you did.
Next time, take a picture before you eat it.
There will be another coming on, and I'll send you the picture.
Yeah. I don't think there's a camera lens that has been quick enough to capture that from Vine to Rufus's mouth. I just don't think it's possible.
I celebrated. Yeah.
So I did
show it to the folks at rehab, and I won the prize of an extra 15 minutes on the treadmill.
And again, this wasn't because of a joint. It was this rehab. It was because of a valve.
That's great. It was not a joint that I had.
As you pass through Wilkes County.
Yeah.
Oh,
my.
Oh, well.
You know, I somehow got it in my mind today that you had told me that the show was going to be up in Timberlake, North Carolina.
No. I went to Timberlake yesterday. I was with Rob Hall, who does the Gardener's Corner for our NCN affiliate. Dave Bratcher's station's up there.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were at T.G. Brooks in Timberlake. But no, this show was not there.
Right.
Yeah, but we had a great time. Yeah. I bought a country ham, too. And I bought a whole country ham and had it sliced up, Rufus. So I guess we'll have some left next weekend. I don't know, to give you.
Yeah, well, the salt doesn't do me too much
good. Okay, well, I'll
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pass.
Well, I hope it's going to be good. So I haven't bought a country ham in a long time. And my mother was real particular about them, so I hope I bought one that she would eat. Now, Tom, I gave Tom some yesterday, and he's cooking it this morning, so I don't know, know how that'll turn out.
I can remember a real, when I was a boy, the smokehouse where we did our
Me too. And just a wonderful fragrance. And, you know, I caught a little bit of that. I mean, it smelled good. They're hanging in the store, and they smelled good because we were near them. They had a they had a ham tree. They had the hams hanging on. So, they cut it, and all the way back home, I could smell that ham, and it smelled like it was supposed to. Yeah, it's good. So, I'm looking forward to eating some tomorrow morning, maybe after church for brunch.
Well, get you a big jar of water.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Need a big biscuit. Need a bigger biscuit to eat the ham. So, so you've had a good time, and I've been getting some stuff messages this morning. And Teresa says she has both volunteers. She's got a couple of pictures here. I'm not sure what they are. Would you please show them to Gerald? So I will hand this to Gerald and let you look at them. I don't know if you can tell by looking at them because there's so many varieties. I'm not sure what she planted, but she says they're volunteers. This is our friend Teresa Rufus. So
you mean volunteer tomatoes?
Yeah. I'm sorry, that might help if I said tomato.
Yeah, well, obviously I can tell they're tomatoes. I probably would have a better idea once they start to ripen, and a little better idea on what the size was when they ripen.
Okay.
So tell her when they turn colors to send pictures back.
Well, everything looks
pretty.
Well,
I'll tell her. Teresa, send pictures when they ripen. And if I know the size and the color, I might can zero.
Everything looks pretty on them. I'll tell you that. Yeah, they really do look healthy, Rufus.
I just had a friend send me a text, Yancey and Carrie. His two Juliet tomatoes have 160 fruit on them right now and more blooms. So if you sounds like a lot of tomatoes on two plants.
That's small tomatoes.
Yeah, it's Juliet's mini Roma. Looks kind of like a bigger plum tomato.
Rufus,
so
I
can't have too many tomatoes.
Tom had some, and Lib had a bowl of Sun Golds on the table and asked me to eat some. I ate a couple of them. Boy, I tell you, they just melt in your mouth.
That's one thing that nobody seems to fail on are the Sun Golds. Now, I go for the little red Tommy Toes, as we call them. And another thing, Gerald, that I have, sometimes I have plants that do a lot of fruiting, and others do maybe four or five only, but they're good, and I just don't pay any mind to it. I don't try to mess with it.
Yeah, generally speaking, the smaller the size fruit, the more a plant will make. So Sun Gold's gonna make way more tomatoes than Cherokee Purple or Better Boy. The bigger the fruit, the fewer they make, and then there gets into small environmental things can affect one plant one year. If it has a little bit of disease issues, that can slow it down. You didn't fertilize one as good. I mean, there's so many little minor factors that can make a difference on fruit production. But generally speaking, the bigger the fruit the plant makes, the fewer you're going to have on that plant. They take longer to make. The bigger the fruit can take a month longer to make than, say, a Sun Gold can.
Yeah, okay.
So people have to understand and be realistic about that.
Well, I'm going to give an example of the Gerald's Lightning. I have maybe 15, 20 on the 6-foot-tall Cherokee Purple. I might not have 4 or 5.
Right. Well, one thing about the Dwarf Tomato Project tomatoes, most of the varieties that I've grown, they are indeterminate, so even though they don't get as tall, they keep growing, they get wider, they bloom right on through summer into fall. So even though the Gerald's Lightning the fruit won't be as big as Cherokee Purple, in the end it'll make up for it because it'll make more fruit. So if you are weighing poundage out of them, you will get as much and probably more out of it, even though it's a smaller plant. So, yeah. Once again, a good problem to have.
This is my fourth year on the Gerald's Lightning, and I know what it will do. It will produce. It even has a different color to the leaves from a lot of the others. And I know that it's going to produce and be dependable, and that's why I continue with the Gerald's Lightning.
Hey, we've talked a lot. All of you have talked a lot about seeds this morning. How do we save the seeds from tomatoes for the next year?
That's a very interesting issue that many people are not aware of. When you cut open a tomato and you see that little gel that the seed are sitting in, that's an enzyme that coats them to keep them from sprouting. Because think about it. You had this beautiful giant Cherokee purple, and you slice it open, and roots were running all through it everywhere.
Yeah,
that would pretty much ruin the fruit. So the tomato naturally produces that enzyme to coat them with so they won't sprout and come up. The old school way of saving tomato seeds is you'd cut them open, squeeze all the seeds, juice in a cup, all that gel, add a little water to it, and you would take and cover it with like cheesecloth or something breathable and let it ferment. And it'd take, 4 or 5 days, depending upon the temperature, for it to ferment, and it would form, mold all on top of it, and you would, after it fermented, pour them through a strainer, clean all the junk off of them, and then put the seeds on a paper towel, or I actually use coffee filters myself. That would eat the enzyme off of it. I have a way that's much easier than that I picked up from someone about 20 years ago. I do the same process. I squeeze the seeds, the juice, the gel coating around them all in a cup, add a little water. I put 1 tablespoon of OxyClean detergent in there, stir it up, let it sit for 1 hour, pour it through a strainer, just eat the coating off of them, boom, put them in something to dry, I'm good to go. I've been doing that way for 18, 19 years now with excellent results. Tomatoes are unique to that. Other things, most other vegetable seeds, you don't have to do that. You just let them dry. And people are asking...
It is possible to get some seeds that will grow by just slicing open the tomato, let it dry out, and eventually with the tweezers or something, pick the seeds out. And I've had that work.
Well, it will work sometimes. Also, people say, well, I have some volunteering come back every year. How did that happen? Well, the reason it happens is a ripe tomato falls on the ground, busts open, sun shining on those seed, acid rain, whatever you want to call it, can eat the coating off. Some tomato varieties that make a lot of seed in them, sometimes all the seed don't get the coating on them. Mexico midget comes to mind. That is a little small, about like the end of your little finger, red cherry. It has tiny, tiny seed in it. And it's almost guaranteed that some of those will germinate and come up the following year without you doing anything. So there are exceptions to that, but Gerald wants to get 99 or 100% of them to come up. So that's why I go through and do that cleaning process. And
that's why Gerald is Gerald and Rufus.
But what's great about tomato seed, I've had tomato seed that were 10 years old or older that germinated at a very high rate. A tomato seed are one of the most viable vegetable seed that there is by far. Other vegetable plants, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years tops is all that they're viable for, but tomato seed have a really, really long shelf life.
Yeah.
All right, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener, Mike Raley here. Oh, by the way, I saw Johnny Coley yesterday, too. He's on that show. I think he alternates with somebody else. But we had a great time, Rufus. I am really sorry that you couldn't join us, but I explained you were out of town. We were supposed to surprise Dave Bradshaw, who is the owner of the station, but Dave... Dave was had to be back at the station because they were shorthanded, and so I didn't get to see him yesterday. But I did get to talk to him on the air a little bit. But and we sang Happy Birthday to him, so we were missing your voice for that too. But wonderful time sitting at a country store
for that wonderful, wonderful gift certificate that he sent me one time for the Angus Barn. That I got it a little bit late, as you know, Mike.
Yeah, no, I gave it to him about a year late. I had it in my glove compartment. I don't know what you're just not going to let go of that, are you, Rufus?
No, I'm not letting go of that, but I sure had fun with it.
But okay. That's one place that will honor one. Ever how old it is.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they do. They do, and thank goodness. 919-8-
It was a surprise.
Huh?
It was a surprise.
Yeah, I know. It was a great surprise from a really good man. I mean, just a top flight. I am so glad I have gotten to know. And that's not because they are an NCN affiliate that carries Mike Rayleigh's news in the morning. It's because they're just solid people, good radio people, good people, period. And of course, Mrs. Bradshaw was principal at Person High School and on the school board and a commissioner up there. I mean, they're movers and shakers. And we just had a great time sitting in a country store doing a little gardening show. And you know, it just doesn't get any better than that.
No, I Carol would enjoy that.
Yeah. I wish I could take all of you up there. That would be a blast. Old Rob would have a heart attack if I brought all these people. He was so glad to have little old me up there. And of course, Johnny and I had a great time talking. We kind of took over the show. But at any rate, we shall return, as they say, 923 WPTF time. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. We're back on WPTF at 924. I apologize. We were having trouble with a monitor, some software that shows the callers, and Jason didn't realize that I couldn't see it. So people have been sitting on there, and I do apologize. I'm pretty guilty of people sitting. I get carried away, and we all talk too much sometimes. But don't include the callers, and I apologize. Rose Rhodes is with us. Rose, I'm sorry you had to wait a long time. I know Major Dave is on there too. And forgive me. I hope you didn't fall asleep or lose interest.
I have something to do always. I have a project going.
I know. Well, what's going on this morning?
Well, I'm having a tough time down here in Johnston County.
Why is that?
The stink bugs. I found 9 on one of my tomatoes.
Stink bugs. Yep, now, that's something that hadn't been brought up in a while about tomatoes. Well, Gerald, what say you?
Did they get through with the squash and now they're looking for something else to go after?
Tomatoes, yes. Every day I go out there and I put my hand under it and shake it, and about 4 or 5 tomatoes, stink bugs fall off of that tomato. There's nothing I can do about it because I don't want to spray my tomatoes.
Yeah, that's the only way to probably get rid of them.
By hand, right?
Yeah.
And see, we have soybeans, and they love soybeans.
Oh, so that explains some of it.
Right. But anyway, I just wanted to complain about that.
Well, complain away. You can do anything about it?
Do they stink?
Oh, yeah, they stink up to high heaven.
When you put them under your heel of your shoe, they really stink.
Yep. Then you don't want to bring your shoes in the house.
So what's the remedy? Is there a remedy for all of this?
Well, you could spray Perithrin, but you got to wash your fruit off afterwards.
Right. You don't want to use that.
That's the only getting into
it. For that problem, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you complained. You feel better?
Yeah, I'm glad you'll speak to me.
Well, absolutely. I just apologize profusely for letting you hang like that.
Well, that's okay. I'm enjoying it.
Well, okay. Well, I know, but you get tired of holding the phone, and ear hurts after a while.
And so it doesn't bother.
You just think I'm ignoring you, but I'm not. I just didn't know.
Nobody ignores me because I'm 90 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Are you 90?
Yeah. Susan Daughtry gave me a birthday party. It was a dinner, and that was interesting.
When was your birthday?
May 20th.
Well, late happy birthday, Rose.
Thank you.
Gerald, are you up to singing, Rufus? Are you up to singing happy birthday?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll get some help here from Lorelei's at Carolina.
Okay.
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rose. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, well, that worked.
Well, that is so nice of you.
Yeah.
And I'd like to invite you to our choir, all of you.
Well, certainly the Lorelei's, I'm sure they'd work well. We tried to sing yesterday. I mentioned Dave Bradshaw, the owner of stations in Roxborough, our NCN affiliate, and we sang Happy Birthday to him. And I'll tell you, we were just a hair off, slightly off there, off pitch.
Rose, the one thing you would try, if you could catch the younger ones, you probably could kill them with insecticidal soap, or just make you up some, you know, a few drops of Joy, a Dawn, or whatever dishwashing liquid you use. The full-grown adult ones, that probably won't get. But the juvenile ones, sometimes that will knock them in the head, and of course, won't bother the tomatoes or anything.
Right.
So that might be one thing if you just keep right on seeing and seeing and seeing them. And if nothing else, spraying the big ones may make them mad, and you get a little joy out of that.
Anyway, that's my little dilemma, and I'm going to get over it.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a unique one. I'm glad I don't have that problem today.
I hope nobody else has it.
Well, maybe the heat will get them.
I don't think so. They love heat.
Okay. Heat and
it's
sand.
Getting me.
Yeah, well, you be careful, all right?
Thank you so
much. And thank you, and please call, and I'll jump right on that call next week if you call us. Bye-bye.
Love you.
We love you, too. And we'll see if Major Dave has stink bugs up in Virginia when we return here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF at 9:33. Mike Rayleigh here along with Gerald Adams, and Brother Rufus is on the road today and with us by phone. I think Major Dave is with us. Major Dave, I do apologize, sir. I will stand for KP for leaving you on the phone. I just didn't know it. I'm sorry.
No problem at all, gentlemen. It was great to hear from you. I was really enjoying this show this morning, especially all this tomato talk.
Yeah, I know people are going tomato crazy, Major.
Well, they are, and I've got some good news for Gerald, because the last time I was by his place at the farmer's market, he gifted me some of his damaged plants. Now, apparently, they've been left out in the night. They got a little bit too cold, but I want you to know those plants are all thriving.
Well, I had a little talk with them before they left, and I told them they need to tighten up.
Maybe they like being taken to the mountains.
They're about 2.5 feet tall right now. Almost to the top of the cages, plenty of blossoms. But I had a specific question. You gave me a variety called Cherokee Chocolate.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what to look for in a fruit as far as coloration to know when it's right to pick.
So it's going to be brown and gently squeeze it. So they can be various shades. It's a fairly dark brown. If it feels like a baseball, leave it alone. If it feels like you could squeeze it, pick it and eat it.
More like a tennis ball.
And that's a pretty good rule of thumb for any kind of tomato. If it's brick hard, then it's probably not right. But if you feel like you could squeeze it, then it's probably ready. And you'll see that it'll be a lot lighter and there'll be some green on the inside. But you're going to like it. I can tell you that now.
Yeah, some of these fruits are tennis ball size already. But I've got a specific problem. I think it's San Marzano. The edge of the leaf is turning yellow. They're not wilting or curling. It's just like somebody took a yellow highlighter and drew around the edge of the leaf. I've never seen that before. Any idea what that could be?
Sometimes, I mean, it's possible that it could be a magnesium deficiency. But rest of the plant's green, and overall it looks healthy and all.
Oh, yeah, very.
Are you where you can send a text a picture of that to Mike or something?
Not at the moment. I can probably do it before the show's over.
Well, do it sometime another and let me see. But most of the time, just a little bit of a yellow edge can be some kind of nutrient deficiency. Yeah, it's a different story if the whole plant, the whole leaf is turning yellow. I mean, that can be some of the diseases. That can be, you know, staying too wet. There are lots of reasons. But just a yellow tip around the edge of them, have you put any Epsom salt to them?
No. Matter of fact, I just added some to the next batch of water. I use these 50-gallon rubber trash cans.
Uh-huh.
Pump water out of the river, let it sit overnight so it's not quite cold. And then I added just about a cup of Epsom salt. I wasn't sure how much to add.
I put a tablespoon to a gallon of water. So you can calculate up if that's a 50-gallon, I don't know what 50 tablespoons is. I'll have to do some ciphering. As soon as I figure that out, I'll say it on the air live. Yeah, make it. It's too early to be doing math.
Gerald, can I text you to the number? Can I text that photo to you with the number on your business card?
Yeah. Text it right to that phone number. That's my cell phone number.
Because I don't have a cell number for Mike Ray.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll
you text it right to me, and I'll.
Yeah, and if you'll hold on, I'll give Jason. You have my. Yeah, just give Major when he before he hangs up. Major, we'll get you my number too.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sir. Squash bugs. I've not seen any the last 2 years on my squash.
Well, just don't say it. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, you might get stink bugs, Major.
Yeah. Well, I learned to go look on the underside of the leaves, and I would see the little egg balls. And I would just rake them off with my finger.
Three cups. If you're putting it, the Epsom salt, to 50 gallon of water, it would need to be three cups of Epsom salt.
So I can add two more cups.
Yep. Okay, yep. Good. And stir it up, and it'll dissolve right pretty quickly.
And I take a box of the Miracle-Gro tomato food and the red stuff and put that in the water too. And so they get a good dose of that about once a week.
Rufus, are you hearing the Major?
Yes, and I wanted to tell him.
Yeah.
And not to fame Gerald, but my Gerald's Lightning has, I like the way the Major described that, take a magic marker, but it's had nothing to do with the fruiting. Got my first tomato, came off of that, and I don't think that it's much going to bother anything. It certainly hasn't mine, Major. And I'm not going to try to go to doing any great medical work on it, because if I've got a tomato plant working and producing fruit, I just leave it alone.
Right.
How many you got out this year, Major?
I want to say 94 tomato plants.
Wow.
Oh, Lord have mercy. My God.
Well, you give away a lot of those tomatoes and other crops to folks who need it badly.
We have two food banks and a homeless shelter, yes. But the only thing I don't give away is the Romas, because my wife is spaghetti sauce making food.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Right.
Yeah, she makes her own spaghetti sauce, and she'll probably do 40, 50 quarts, enough to pretty much hold us through the year.
Whew.
And the deer got to my green beans, so I had about almost 100 green string bean plants, not a leaf on them. Woke up.
Man.
I hope they'll come back.
Yeah, what are the chances of that, Gerald? Is green beans coming back at this point?
It's possible. Keeping them watered would help them if they're going to generate some new growth. So it's not impossible, but I don't let that be your only source of potential food.
Well, you were talking earlier about where in the yard to plant, and I'm so grateful for the way ours is laid out, because my garden gets full sun from sunrise up until about 2 in the afternoon, and that's when it starts getting shaded by the trees. So they get a break from the most extreme heat every afternoon.
And you're probably having pretty good success, because that sounds like a good recipe.
Well, we are. Honestly, Gerald, the plants you gave me don't seem to need cages. And those are not determinate varieties. Some of those are indeterminate. But they have some of the thickest, stiff stalks on them, and that tells me that plant is prepared to carry some weight of fruit.
Yes, and reflecting back, I've been going through my computer files in my head, and it seems like that yellow edging can be a potassium deficiency too, potash.
Okay.
So that may be, I would try to up some salt, and I might would look at possibly adding some of that over the next 10 days. I can't think of any other two possibilities besides that.
Now, will that simply resolve the yellowness? I don't need to pick the leaves off?
Yes, it should. It should.
Good.
Yeah. Well, maybe you mentioned the deer. Let me tell you a cute little story. Mike and Phil and I went down to Lillington to the store where if they don't have it, you don't need it.
J.E. Wumble and Son.
J.E. Wumble, yeah.
And we drove through the gate at about a little after 1 o'clock. Well, I knew that somebody was coming to do some repair work on the air conditioning, preventive repair. So I just, as Phil and Mike pulled out, I left the gate open. And for about an hour and a half, and then I went down and closed it as soon as the air conditioner man left. Well, on Sunday morning, I was out watering my tomatoes, and I saw this little brown speckle thing in the bushes there, and I thought, oh, my God, that's a deer.
Yeah.
Well, a deer had come in there during that a little bit over an hour's time,
right,
had a fawn, and all three of you, all four of us, know that how I've got the place with a fence all around it. Well, that deer had that fawn within about that hour, and I knew, okay, don't mess with it. Leave it alone, coming from an old wildlife protector thing. And so I left the gate open the whole night and thought, well, she'll bring in the whole herd. Well, I was telling Phil Campbell about it, and she said, she won't let them in there. The only damage that I had, and that deer had to come in there within a very short period of time and take that baby out, and the only thing that she ate was the tops off of three hydrangeas. And I sent Mike the picture. Maybe he'll put it on his Facebook.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking. It looked like she's lying in Linton Rose, in an area with Linton Rose.
It was.
And I bet she didn't eat those.
Of course, she'd fall down in Rufus's yard, and you're going to hit a Linton Rose somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I had to go around and shave down a couple of bars of Irish Spring deodorant soap around my fence line, because the rabbits were digging right under the rabbit fence. I've not seen any sign of them since. And that was an old Kipper trick I got from somebody, but apparently they don't like the aroma of Irish Spring deodorant soap.
I'll be doggone. I've heard that, but it's good to confirm that it works.
I just took my pocket knife and shaved off little pieces of it and walked around the fence line, spread it around, and it seems to be working so far.
Fantastic. How about that? Irish Spring, huh?
I was going to say, if you took a whole bar of soap for every one of them, that's going to be pretty expensive soap. But he shaved it off, yeah.
Well, I probably got 300 linear feet of fence line, and I think I used 3 bars of soap, so that wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't bad.
How about
they,
that?
They will jump. They'll jump an 8-foot fence, but where I've got the 10-foot, they won't jump it. But they have never jumped over in there because I have this wonderful neighbor I've mentioned before, Marie, who feeds them corn every day, and they're not going to mess with my place. But that little doe apparently wanted to get to someplace unknown to the rest of the herd and have that little fawn.
Well, I was there working in the garden the other day, and I was taking a break just sitting in the Kubota, and 2 deer come out of the woods, got within 30 feet of me, and all they did was just look up, and then they went right on the nibbling. They stayed there about 15 minutes, and they finally just wandered off. I think they're getting too tame because now they're this close to the city.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, these walk right in front. Right in front.
I'll be doggone. They're stalking you, Rufus.
Yep. Well, that was a cute little picture, though.
I'm getting ready to put it on Facebook. So.
Yeah.
On the Weekend Gardener Facebook page here.
Well, Gerald, I want to thank you again for the plant.
You're welcome. Thank you for the good work you're doing with them.
Well, I'll send you that picture here shortly.
All right. Major Dave, I salute you, sir. And
thank you, gentlemen. Hey, it's always great. I always enjoy the show.
Thank you so much, Major. All right. Are we going to take a break or go to Billy? Billy out at the farmer's market. I don't know. We may have lost. Oh, let's go to Billy. Billy Howell's out at the State Farmer's Market. Billy, thanks for waiting, buddy. So it's going to be a warm one today. Looks about 97 for a high. Y'all got those big fans going out there?
Those big fans are twirling wind around the side of the farmer's building this morning. It's nice and comfortable in there. Maybe it'll stay that way.
I hope so. I know farmers have to put up with a lot in their lives. They're tough people, though. And I know a lot of people will come out regardless because this is a prime time of year. What'd you say, Rufus?
Well, Billy, there's a nice lady that works. She's an assistant producer over at UNC Television, and she texted me the other day from the farmer's market, and she said, "Did you see those big dash fans up there?" I said, "Oh, yes, I certainly do." So she was very astounded about those fans and the name of those fans, which we can't say on this family program, but I highly commend everyone, when you go to the farmer's market, look up at the fans, and look at the name of those fans.
It's an apt description. They work well. They do. So, Billy, what's happening on the peach front? I start with that because I know the secretary loves peaches.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the Freestone, though.
It's just around the corner, Rufus. They'll be here.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, we really are getting close to
got any watermelons yet, Billy?
We do have some sugar babies and some cantaloupe that started coming in.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Great time of year.
Yep, cantaloupe. I want to know this. I stopped in Wilkes County Thursday on the way up to an old friend of mine, Carl White, who's doing a documentary on me, and he gave me some Wilkes County peaches that look like a donut. And he said they don't do them commercially because they don't keep, but they, for the life of me, are flat about like a donut and have the best taste in the world. And
how about that?
If you all have ever heard of that.
I have seen those. They almost look like the little small powder donut because the inside, they don't have a hole in the middle. It just kind of like a donut that don't have a hole in it, I guess is what you say, kind of squished down in the middle.
Hey, hey, Billy, my good friend Rhonda Garrison, who's with the Corn Growers Association, says she got some wind blows yesterday, and I'm assuming that she got them at the farmer's market.
Don't know. If so, I overlooked them when I was walking through.
Okay, well, that's a really good canning peach.
Yeah, wind blow is like first freestone as well, correct?
Yeah, I mean that's the one. I mean it. That's the one that I mean. Yeah. Okay. Rhonda says she did get them there. So yeah, maybe they sold out.
Might not have had.
Might have been out. She said she got them at Johnson's. She got them at Johnson's. So check with Johnson's. They maybe they had to go back and get some more. But that's a good sign, Rufus. You might check that out today when you get back.
Yeah. I'll get back about the time the show's over.
Thanks for that, Rhonda. I know the corn's suffering down east, the drought. Yeah.
What we do have is pretty. I've been walking by looking at it, you know, because of the drought. And, yeah, we have Devotion.
I've had some great corn this year. Just outstanding. So you got? Do you have a lot of corn growers out there this morning?
We do.
All right, a lot of varieties. It's amazing how many varieties. We used to look for Silver Queen. That's still good, but that was about it. But now we got all kinds, just like tomatoes and everything else. There are all kinds of varieties of things. What else do you have out there this morning?
Well, of course, we have all the good produce, squash and carrots. And potatoes, bell peppers, green beans. Still waiting on some peas and butter beans. That should be coming on in here shortly. We got one new thing this morning out under our big oak trees in the front parking lot. We have North Bay Oyster Company set up, and he's selling fresh oysters, 100 count, 50 count, and 25 count.
Are they in the shell?
They are in the shell, yeah. They're still there.
Well, we got to get them out.
They grow like peanuts, I think.
Rufus, how do you like your oysters? Rockefeller or otherwise?
I like mine steamed.
Steamed.
And somebody else shucking them.
Yeah, I don't want to cut myself. I don't want to cut my arm off trying to shuck a oyster.
All we ever had up where I grew up was mountain oysters. And I'm not going to go into that.
I just disregard. Oh, my gosh. This is a little crazy morning here.
Y'all were waiting for me to get back.
That's right. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. So, Billy... please continue. What else? So it'll be a while before we have Crowder peas. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some plants out there this morning.
I was going through there this morning and looked at some of the prettiest peach lilies. It's humongous. And I was looking at hydrangeas and the hanging basket. And, you know, I know Mother's Day's over, but if it's like my mama was, if you just pop up, you know, out of the blue when it's not required of you, and bring her a hanging basket or a little house plant,
yeah,
she'd appreciate that even more than she did on Mother's Day.
You would think that you'd given her a bag of gold, right?
Yeah.
I know the feeling with my mother, too. Yeah. Yeah, they appreciate things. So lots of beautiful flowers and plants and shrubs and we have to be careful. You know, if we plant this time of year, just like everything else, got to have plenty of water, and water in the morning and water in the afternoon too. Well, Gerald, I don't know.
If we're getting into this, you know, mid 90-degree weather, you very likely could have to water twice a day. Not at a realm of possibility at all.
Yeah. So, up in the market shops, lots of things. I'm sure that bread Oh, the fresh bread smells good this morning.
Oh, the cinnamon and the apple jacks and peach jacks. And gosh, it's the place to be at on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I buy me a fresh pastry on Saturday morning and get me a cup of coffee. And that's my breakfast.
That's the appetizer. Then you go to the farmer's market restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Or to the market grill that they have really good breakfast there. And they have lunch. Of course, that's where you can find the Rufus dog. And a lot of knickknacks and, wonderful coffee from 321 Coffee, I know, and canned goods.
They've got at the market shop, too, Mike, they do a stir fry mixed in with beef that is very good. And I said, this is not going to take the place of the Rufus dog. And she said, oh, no.
No, they just have just a unique variety of food, and it's all good.
So my grandson, Henry, has finally discovered fried shrimp. So we've always...
He can't get enough, can he?
We've always been a regular out there at the seafood market, but now he suggests that's where we go because he wants some shrimp.
Well, how about that? Well, they give you plenty.
It was in his blood. It was just a matter of time that he would see the light.
That's right. All fried foods now are on the table.
Girl,
and the one order does it all.
That's right. That'll last you a while.
Now, Gerald, do you make him clean this plate?
Hey, usually don't have to make him. Of course, out there, that might be a little difficult because how much they put on a plate. But he can, to be 5 years old now, he can put some away.
All right.
He's got to dip them in a wee bit of ketchup. He's a ketchup fiend. So,
yeah.
And if you get him a cheeseburger, the ketchup has to be on a certain side of it. So
a certain side?
Yeah, he's a little particular about how things are put together.
So does he want to sneak up on it or what? I mean, or does he like to jump on it right away?
He don't want the ketchup on the cheese. He wants it on the hamburger side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so underneath.
Yeah, so...
Well, the owner's mother is named Sue, and she is a quite avid listener to the Weekend Gardener.
Well, they are some great cooks, I'll tell you.
Hello to Sue.
Hello to Sue. Yeah.
Kemp does a Sweet spectacular Sue. Job with that.
Yeah. So I'm interested in this ketchup thing. Why don't you fool him sometime and serve it to him upside down?
It is. I told him that one day, and he gave me that look, the same look that used to give me when she was little and still gives me sometimes now, and the same look that his grandmama, my wife, gives me on a right regular basis. So
they don't trust you
let
or?
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Okay, I get that look too. Oh, Tom Campbell says the country ham was delicious, very salty.
Yeah.
Need to soak it first, yep. Yeah, don't get too anxious and cook it before you soak it. That's a good idea, Tom. Great public service public service announcement. And I think Sweet Melissa's bringing you some ham. Gerald.
Well, she didn't have to go to all that trouble.
And Rufus, I'll have to owe you. I'll get you some this weekend because you know it does keep.
Oh, yeah.
For a while. So, speaking of the market, they have pretty good ham there, too, don't they? And red eye gravy.
Oh, Farmer's Market Restaurant, yeah. It is delicious.
Yes, sir. And you can get breakfast or lunch there. I do love the ham. But I usually get the big link sausage, so I can put that in a biscuit
and
eat it.
And a Gerald-size biscuit, too.
They are Gerald-size or Rufus-size or Mike-size biscuits, definitely.
Big.
And they taste, I don't know if they use lard, but I swear they taste like the old lard biscuits when I was growing up. And there are a few things that taste better than that, so especially with the sausage or the ham. We'll be back.